Hello, John Brooks speaking. Welcome to the High Existence Podcast. Today I am in dialogue with Eric Brown and Mike Slavin, and this one is extremely potent. We share some of the ideas behind the traps of self-improvement and the traps of personal responsibility, and specifically why people don't do work that they love or don't try. We've noticed something within our community and with some of our closest friends that many people know how to improve their lives in a local way. You know, they learn the skill of meditation. They learn to find and read very good books. They learn how to build things like motivation and discipline, how to change their routine. You know, that feeling of getting interested in spirituality and self-improvement, and the world kind of opens up for you. That's a very important first step. Of course, the first step has to be, there's more to life than I thought. Yeah, that's the first step, vital. But I'm coming at that place myself. I'm coming at my meditation practice. I'm coming at my spiritual practices from a place of already doing work that I find very meaningful with High Existence and some of my other projects. I can work when I like, where I like, how I like, can take time off if I need to. And the best part of it, which is more important than all of that, is that I have opportunities to meet great people. You know, we've done 5 apotheosis retreats, and I've made some of, you know, like my best lifelong friends on those retreats. I've created an online course, The Stoic Quest. Incredibly meaningful work that I absolutely love, waking up every day feeling like I can help other people. But all of these things that I teach people, like how to get their inner resources, how to improve their equanimity and discipline and resilience, all of these inner soft skills that are very important, I'm only able to do that because I myself have learned the hard skills of manual lead generation, writing. You know, there's a skill to writing, there's a skill to expressing and communicating, running a podcast, running a website, working within teams. I have met many people who really, really want to do this kind of work, but they don't know where to start, and they have this kind of paralysis by analysis, and they don't know where to put their energies and their efforts. And so what they do is that they pursue this path of spiritual awakening. You know, they're meditating and reading and trying to cultivate these inner resources, all the while working in jobs they don't like. And it's a shame. It's a shame. And I get it. I was fortunate enough to stumble onto resources that helped me, and I kept learning and learning and learning. And the Ascent is the High Existence team's best effort to convey everything we know about finding meaningful work, achieving your financial goals in a spiritual, ethical way. So it doesn't matter if you want to be a writer, a blogger, an artist, a coach, whether you want to start your own podcast or YouTube channel, whatever it is, you know, whatever your ambition is, the High Existence team, along with 5 facilitators, including world-class marketers, coaches, etc., are going to be walking you through how you can actually achieve your meaningful work goals within 8 weeks. The idea behind the Ascent is not that you just show up and you feel good and you have a chat to people. That's going to be part of it. You know, there's going to be a lot of discussion and a lot of friendships made. But the real goal of it is that during the process, you actually achieve your goals. I have a friend who wants to coach people, for example. He has many qualifications. He has been doing this work himself for 10 years. He's incredible. He has the skills to be a coach, but he doesn't have the skills to get clients, which is a different skill set. So my goal with him when he is on the Ascent is that I want him to have 4 to 5 clients within the first month. This is what it's all about. It's about actually doing the work, showing up, everyone helping each other, sharing skills, and committing to it. So the Ascent is not for everyone. The Ascent is primarily for someone who is not satisfied with what they're doing. The Ascent is for people who feel like they have something to offer to the world, a skill, a gift, a talent, and they just don't feel like they're utilizing that in the work that they're doing, and they would like to make their passion and the way that they earn money the same thing. And you know, the Ascent is not a get rich quick scheme or anything like that. You know, the idea of it is lifestyle design. The idea of it is you don't need to become a billionaire to actually work from Bali or Thailand or travel the world. You need enough money to sustain yourself, and then you find work that you love, and then you just keep building on that. That's the plan. And how high up you want to go is down to you. So if you're interested in this program, The Ascent, we are going to start collecting applications. If what I'm saying sounds interesting to you, or you feel like a call inside saying, I'm actually curious about this, like what could I learn or achieve during this program? You can visit highexistence.com/ascent, highexistence.com/ascent. There's also a link at the top of the show notes. I would recommend that you do it now and just put your details in. It takes like literally 3 seconds to do that instead of procrastinating on it, which is, you know, a big thing that holds us back, procrastination, not just doing things. And then you can crack into the episode where you will learn more about it. So with all that said, let me, Mike, and Eric go into more depth on what the Ascent involves.
All right. And we're back for another High Existence Dialogue. This is the High Existence team. I'm Mike Slavin. I have Eric Brown and John Brooks joining me for what should be an exhilarating conversation. We're going to cover lots of interesting stuff, and I think it's this is a poignant moment to have a conversation, because there are a lot of people who are experiencing, you know, in some form or another, a feeling of alienation or stagnancy, perhaps a loss of meaning in their lives. And there are, oddly enough, ways that the pursuit of personal transformation can inflame those feelings. There are traps that people can sort of wander into with good intentions. And we've sort of probed into some of these things and want to explore and have conversation around them. So hopefully you can avoid some of these traps as well.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. John's been bringing up some really interesting information. We were looking back at some of the early applications from the Apotheosis Retreat, and one of the things that stuck out to me that was just incredible was the linearity in thinking. We asked people where they saw themselves in 5 years, and you know, there was kind of just this extension of what they were doing now. You know, maybe I'll be a little bit happier, maybe I have a significant other, but it was on par. It maintained. But then the following question was like, no, stop this. Dream like really, really big. If you could do anything, if you could be anyone, if you could be anywhere, what would that look like? And the contrast in the same person's answers was, it actually just shocked me. I hadn't actually remembered or realized that, you know, people suddenly, I don't know, got this permission, were felt allowed to actually totally reinvent themselves. You know, not continue doing more of the same, but in acting and thinking differently, they just allowed this entirely different potential and future for themselves. And, you know, more and more kind of insights, keys, or gems have come up like this. And, you know, I think we've been watching it unfold, and yeah, we're starting to see that there are some common kind of traps, pitfalls, and a whole lot of potential that you can actually just push a few buttons on people and dial in and really let them design a life that they, quite frankly, have only dreamed of, and make it real. And I think that is such a potent space to explore. And yeah, so I'm super excited for this.
Yeah, so as you were speaking, I like to go back to fundamental questions, and one fundamental question worth asking is, what is self-improvement? You know, what does that mean to you? I think everyone's going to have their own answer. one of the traps, I think, of self-improvement is that you don't actually improve yourself. You improve the things you've been told you should improve to improve yourself. So that might be, you know, what are some classic ways to improve yourself? Get in shape. You know, like we go on Instagram, we see the fit person, they're so happy, they have everything. Yes, I'm going to get in shape. That's how I'm going to improve myself. You know, it could be a relationship. It could be, oh, that person's really calm. I want to be more calm. I'm going to improve myself to become more calm. But as Eric was saying, all of these are sort of local changes. Some of them might not actually be what you truly want deep down. Maybe you haven't developed knowledge of self enough to the point of you really, really knowing what areas of your life should you improve. Maybe while you're plodding away trying to get a six pack or try and get a like your top score on a run, maybe there's like a conversation you need to be having. I have a friend, actually, this brings up a good friend, and he can't drive, and he's been procrastinating on learning how to drive for quite a while. And every time we talk, I'm like, have you started learning how to drive? And the answer is no. And then a few months go by and he's talking about this new venture that he wants to go on, this new hobby that he wants to pursue, and he thinks this is going to fix everything. And the question is, have you learned how to drive? You know, it's like the most obvious thing that he could do that will unlock everything in his life, give him way more flexibility. But he's stuck on, I need to improve my physique. I need to get stronger. And it's an interesting thing, and we all have that, I think. Like I, and that's why we need a good container of friends to be pointing stuff out. If I had to do all the self-improvement on my own, it doesn't matter how wise or intelligent you are, you're going to miss the obvious things. You need a good support community to be able to point out, like, hey, you haven't done that thing that you need to. You know, like, what's taking you so long?
Absolutely. That reminds me of, it's either Campbell or Jung, but it's the, you know, the cave you fear to enter holds the treasure you seek, right? And we will do anything to not go in that cave. We'll find all kinds of things to occupy our time with that feel reasonable and like a good use of time. And there are things that are a good use of time, but is it the highest leverage use of our time? Is it really going to do, you know, like create the transformation that we're looking for? And I think so often people latch onto things that they want to change about themselves that are actually downstream symptoms of deeper emotional sort of patterns and things that they're wanting to work on. You know, so say someone's super focused on getting a six pack and getting a fancy car or whatever these things may be, but they want those things because there's a deeper insecurity where they don't feel like they're enough in and of themselves. And so they try to pursue and grasp onto these things that they think will enhance that sense of self. But the issue with that is you can arrive at those things but still not feel worthy. So then you find some other object that is in the you know, near term future that you latch onto and decide, okay, well, that will be the thing that I go after. And that conception of self-improvement is actually a treadmill where the pattern keeps repeating itself. The objects that are in view, the desirable objects keep changing, but you keep kind of sort of slogging along where these underlying symptoms aren't sort of being dealt with. Now, having a six pack and having a fancy car inherently aren't something that are, you shouldn't, like, they're cool. Go for those things. But if you're going for them because you're imprisoned inside of a sense of insecurity and you think that's the solution, you're actually misdiagnosing what the appropriate steps would be to resolve the thing that is disturbing your peace. You know, so there's like part of, I think, the thing that you're speaking to, John, is when you have other points of reflection, you're able to gain that greater insight outside of yourself where you say, oh, maybe this isn't what I need. Maybe I need to look at this other thing over here that is the thing that I really don't want to look at because that would be uncomfortable. But in that, in examining and observing that thing that we don't want to go near, the appropriate shedding happens where we can basically occupy an expanded sense of self and grow out of those older insecurities that formerly held us back.
Yeah, and I think you guys are both pointing to a topic that has been seemingly very central for us the past few weeks, which is it's actually very safe to always be in this space of just, oh, I'm just working on myself. Then I'll go do stuff for the world. Right? We always present it as like, I'm just leveling up so that I can go be of service. But I think if for many of us, if we're being honest with ourselves, it's actually just, oh, I'm just trying to level up because it's something that I know, it's something that I'm comfortable with, it's something I have reasonable competency in, and I won't fail at it. Right? So I never take a step in the direction of the cave specifically because it's unknown, it's confusing, and I might mess it up. But like we always come back to, it's that is where the quantum shift in your life comes from. If you want more of the same, you keep doing more of the same. If you want something different, you have to do something radically different. It's laid out like that. It's very simple, but it's uncomfortable. It's scary. It's confusing. And if we can build the muscle of getting uncomfortable or just being okay with failure, not seeing that as a reflection of our character, the progress you can make is just astounding. It's absolutely astounding. But I think for a lot of us, yeah, we're just very content to stay in the comfort of, oh, I just need to do a little bit more work on myself. Then I'll go out into the big world and make the change. It's like, no, you can work on yourself literally forever. That thing doesn't stop. There's never going to be the right time to make the switch. So eventually you just have to take that great leap, make that first step and, you know, start showing up in the world rather than just showing up for yourself.
Yeah, this is such a, like, we love to talk about this stuff because we're so passionate about it. And I think it's fair to say we've all made certain mistakes in our own journey, which mm-hmm. we've kind of learned from and had like the such good friends and good mentors in our life to help us learn from those and to point them out to us. I like this idea of thinking of who you admire as a good indication for the traits that you desire. It's like a very simple exercise. It's like, think of all the people that you would admire in your life. And that's a really good kind of metric for the type of person that you want to be. Now, a lot of the people that I admire are like artists, innovators, creators, world changers. You know, they're not people who simply do self-help all day. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, they do some self-help, they do some maintenance of the sailboat, but they do a lot of sailing. if you think of someone like Elon Musk, you know, people want to, like, Elon, what's your routine? Well, I sleep for 6 hours, I read this, I do that, I work there. And people want to emulate that as if it's going to make them more like Elon Musk. But the difference between people like us and people like Elon Musk is that Elon Musk has a completely different why. He has a very strong reason for why he gets out of bed. And that's what helps him fit all of his routine into place. Simply trying to fit your routine and to make it look like Elon Musk without the why is completely putting the cart before the horse. It's a strange thing. Yeah, and then building on that, the other thing as well is that we do know that incremental changes in our life are helpful. Like if you read Atomic Habits by James Clear, whenever we learn something or pursue a goal, it usually is a series of small steps, persistence, discipline. And I think many of us are seeing the value of that. And we're thinking, okay, what container are we in? What are the pieces of the game that we get to play with? Okay, where do I live? What are my relationships like? What is my level of education? How do people respond to me? And now I'm going to try and tweak the game so that I can have the best environment within this predetermined container. But I think what you need to do at a certain point is change the container. Like, that's what you've got to do. You've got to get out of the container. And that's what the hero's journey is all about. It's like, don't just tweak the things inside your cardboard box. You'll have a very nice cardboard box. I think you need to get away from the cardboard box and maybe design your own box. Maybe it's not even a box. Maybe you design a sphere that you can live in with aquatic animals and rainbows. I mean, right? You get to determine that. But you're never going to be able to do that while you're in your box.
Yeah, this aligns with what I was thinking when you were using that term self-help, John, because maybe it's not the self that needs helping, or maybe the void that the self feels is in some ways due to the preoccupation with endlessly trying to help said self, right? Like, what if there is a, it got flipped and we started to think, consider, what are the ways that I could be of service to the world? And in being of service to the world, all of a sudden I feel better, right? When instead thinking, oh, I just need to do X or Y or Z thing. I need to work on myself. But a lot of times there's this interface with the world that gets lost in those conversations, and people become too myopic or preoccupied with the idea that they have of themselves. And a good feeling arises when we feel ourselves contributing meaningfully to the world around us. You know, there's like that, that's so vital and essential. So it's like breaking out of the container of just trying to collect these badges of, oh, I've meditated for 30 days. Am I worthy yet? Am I able, like, am I a good self yet? Have I arrived? And it's like, great that you meditated, but really the meditation, the purpose of that will be so that you can embark throughout your days with greater equanimity and peace of mind, so that when you're interacting with others and when you're doing the work that you're here to do in the world, that your blade is sharper, so to speak. There's a contribution that meditation gets to make. There's also something to be said about just the value of meditation in and of itself for the experiences of conscious exploration, but that's very different from meditating to bolster your feeling or the sense of self that you have. But I want to shift gears for a moment and circle back to part of where this conversation began, and that was related to asking people, you know, what kind of changes do they want to make in their life, and then reaching for very local, graspable things that are within, you know, that are not too difficult to imagine, you know. But then you ask them 5 years from now, what if you really could dream, what would your life look like? And it's something radically different. And I think part of that reason is when we're talking about changes we want to make today, we are imprisoned by our own sense of how, you know, the how would I even do it? How would I even begin to make that thing happen? But when we cast it out into the future, the blurriness of that timeline affords us a greater ability to dream and wonder and explore the possibilities of what we could become. So I think a lot of people are stuck in a holding pattern, and that holding pattern is reinforced by the world around them. And there's something called the Pygmalion effect that some people may have heard of before, but it's related to the expectations others have of us, and then the sort of space of potential we're able to occupy or fill based on that. And so one of the sort of super accelerators, I think, to get someone to expand more into their own sort of possibility in this life is to find people who can see them stepping into that larger, more expansive version, who can invite them out. Because there's so many people who don't want them to do that in their life because the other people in their life have their own issues. If they start to stretch and grow, then what does that say about me? That feels dangerous, you know? So there's a lot of suppression that can come from people's just everyday circle and circumstances. So to build that sort of community that enables and allows for the stretching and that growth and encourages it, I think is one of the most vital shifts someone could make. But it's not an easy thing to do, especially given the fact that we're in a pandemic and people are more isolated than they might normally be, less social outings than they'd been exposed to last year and so on. So I think it's not an easy thing to solve, but that can be one of the biggest shifts a person can make that can open up a whole lot of potential.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I call this the content versus structure. Almost everyone is singularly focused on the content of like what's actually happening instead of the systems and the structures and the containers and the context and the environment that it's happening in. And if you just jump over to that, honestly, everything will change. You know, I would actually build on what you said, Mike, and say the how most of us view as the like pinnacle, it's actually the least important thing. If you have like the what do I want to do and the why do I want to do it, you'll figure out the how in 12 seconds, right? It's quite literally a Google search. You know, I've seen people get so hung up on like, I don't know where to register a blog. I don't know how to take money online. It's like, yo, you can Google that in 5 seconds, man. What do you want to give people? What do you want people to pay you for? What work do you want to do? If you can answer that, you can figure out all the tools you need in 12 seconds. The how is super easy. But we sit at this point of like, oh my God, I have to figure out so many things right here and now. And if I don't have them all set up right now, I just can't start because I don't see the path forward. And it's like, yo, you will sit there for the rest of your life waiting to figure it all out because the world is shifting around you. And every moment you'll have to readjust and reorganize. So it's this just, what do I want? And why do I want it? And if you get the structure set up around that and get the people to help push you forward, everything will resolve itself. But it's like the shadow of perfectionism in the self-help space. Until I'm perfect, until I have my master plan all nailed out to the very minute detail, I can't go yet. And it's actually like, no, the minute you start going, everything will just sort itself out. It's almost like we've just got the whole thing flipped backwards, like the pyramid is upside down. And it's just, yo, the how is easy. Stop even worrying about it. Actually just figure out what it is, the direction you're going, and start going. People will come, opportunities will come, luck will come, the world will push you forward, but yo, you just have to start going.
So here's an insight that I've gathered, which builds on what you just said, Eric, about human beings, which may be a little bit controversial, but I see a lot of evidence for it, and it's kind of like a general rule of thumb. And what I've discovered is that, and there's going to be a lot more of these kind of gems in later work that we do, but I believe that to a large degree, people get on a day-to-day basis exactly what they want. Exactly what they want. Yeah. There's actually nothing that people are getting on a day-to-day basis that is not what they want on the deepest level. So like you just said, when people have a what and a why, the how is easy to figure out. And if you disagree with this, let me remove food from you and hide it in your house. I guarantee you'll find it when you get hungry enough, right? Because you have a basic need. People with addictions have the same thing. If you move someone out of their community and they have a strong enough addiction, they'll find a drug dealer somehow, some way, and they'll get their fix. It's incredible. The human beings are incredible what we can do when we have a strong enough why. But our more transcendent needs, like, you know, fulfilling our potential, some of us don't have a strong enough why for those. So yeah. That's kind of like we're already full, and then someone presents us with a plate of food or hides food in the house. Of course we're not going to figure out how we're going to find the food. We don't care about it. And then on the point of people get exactly what they want, if you examine your intentions deep enough, you'll see that they're often very muddled. It's like, okay, so you might tell me, like face to face, I want to be a best-selling novelist. Okay, that's what I want. Okay. But actually, if we investigate your life a bit more, what we might find is that you want to be seen as being very intelligent. And you don't want to be seen as being stupid. Right? Like, you don't want to be seen. But guess what? If you want to be a best-selling novelist, you're going to have to get rejected. You're going to have to face the computer every day and see how terrible you are as a writer at times. Every great writer has terrible sentences that they write. It's very normal. So suddenly now your intention of wanting to be a best-selling writer and your intention of never wanting to appear stupid, well, you're in conflict. And one of them has to win. Yeah. So what you actually want is you want to tell yourself that you want to be a best-selling writer, feel good about it, and then live exactly the life that you're living, right? Like, that's what you want on the deepest level. It's really fascinating.
Yeah, that I think that reveals a lot about the sort of issues that can arise with grandiose goal setting. You know, it's like people want grandiose goals because their feeling of pursuing those goals makes them like helps them fill the void of worthlessness, or what maybe it's not as strong as worthlessness, insufficiency that they feel. So if they have a target that they can move to that they feel someday will help fill that insufficiency, then oh great, like I can move in that direction, so I can incrementally feel maybe, you know, less insufficient each day. But maybe you don't have to pursue a path in which you're the starting place is insufficiency. You know, maybe there's a different way of sort of embarking on those journeys. You know, I think about the ways, you know, there's these foundational questions that you guys are bringing up, whys and whats and hows, and you can think about it and like in terms of a landscape, right? And inside of a landscape, it's like if I have my feet on the ground, like the why to me feels like the gravity, like the strength to which I'm like rooted in, like on the planet, like on the earth that I'm standing on. You know, it's like it's the thing that sort of creates the conviction for me to sort of like be unmoved by the forces of the world. And the what is the target that I see off in the distance, and the how is the space between. There's shifting, like the landscape is always shifting. The context of our goals and our aims are always moving and shifting and changing. And this is one thing that I so dislike about goal setting. I said this to you guys the other day. If someone set goals in 2019 at the end of the year and then felt like those goals were still applicable by the time we're living in COVID 2020, the entire game has changed. The landscape has shifted. You like your goals occur, your aims are occurring within a set of ever shifting sort of context. So you need to be able to interact and allow these things to shift and change. So when your goals aren't these sort of badges that you wear to sort of bolster the insufficiency that you feel, and instead are a part of the path and the journey that you're on, and you're actively sort of relinquishing, updating, revising as you're moving through them, then the how becomes so much easier, because the how is like, oh, okay, well, I'll do this thing. I'm moving in this direction. I realized that's actually not where I want to go, but I didn't have that information until I took those first three or five steps. And because it's like, that's a part of the process, is revising and updating what those aims or those targets are. So I think it's just an important way of thinking about it, because people envision and or imagine these ideal futures, but those futures need to be changing and shifting with your own growth, with your own sort of updating and reinvigorated awareness as you proceed on those paths. The goals that we set or the aims, the targets, they're meant to be relinquished because we can't fully see where we're meant to be from the place we're standing. You know, the mountaintop is filled with haze and storm clouds and stuff, but you can pierce through that event at some juncture, and then you see things differently, and you have to factor that, you know? So it's just, I think, worth chewing on for people.
Yeah. And I want to highlight two really subtle and sneaky things about this. With the original two questions, right? Where do you see yourself? And then, you know, dream really big. No one was forcing their hand there in those answers, right? We're so quick to be like, oh, it's the society's fault. It's culture that doesn't let me do this. It's like, yo, you literally had the pen in your hand and could author the story of your life. And this is what you came up with, right? Like you limited yourself. And that, I think, is huge and very sneaky point, is like, yo, the world is not the thing in your way. Like, you are the thing in your way. Your belief system, the way you view yourself, is the thing that's in your way. It is, you're literally throttling yourself. And why? Like, I don't know. Are you scared of how big you can be? Are you scared of upsetting people because, like, you shift your habits? So that's a big one, is like, yo, those stories were self-limited. Like, the story of your life is yours to write. And you can write it as big or as tiny as you want. And the second subtle thing is how this interplays with your identity and how you view yourself. Because I think a lot of people were like, okay, given who I am, you know, given the things I can do, like, I'm going to set kind of these 5-year goals because, you know, I think I can do them and I think that's just about what I deserve. It's not asking for too much. It's not asking for too little. It's like, I'd be okay if I got those things. And it's like, yo, your identity is not static either, man. You can totally flip that. Like, your whole reality is up for grabs. And we just kind of like grab what we think we deserve, right? Because it's what other people told us. It's, oh, this is like how it's been in my family the whole time. It's like, yo, no one is forcing this on you. These are all these crazy mazes and boxes that we've locked ourselves in mentally. And yeah, it's hard work to kind of go through the deconstruction and reconstruction of that. I think it goes back to your point, Mike, of like, it's really helpful when people look at you and see like the big potential for you. And they're like, yo, that's cool. Like, let's go walk towards that together. But like, the sneaky part is like, this stuff is self-imposed. Like, your limits are your own. And man, that is I think it's tough to come to terms with. And because it is, we actually just defer responsibility and blame onto everything out there. It was all my teachers weren't good enough, or it's my work partners, or it's like, it's the society that I live in. They wouldn't allow this. It's like, you never tried it. You didn't even try it to see if it was possible. And that is like walking into a jail cell and just closing the lock yourself. And man, that is really sad, because right now you sit at any potential future you want. Like, you could walk towards literally anything you wanted right now. This could be the inflection point, and yet we just sit comfortably, not thinking we're capable of it or deserve it or something. And it's all just stories. It's all just subtle, subtle stories we tell ourselves.
Yeah, very, very important thing that just came up is, I think the other side of the shadow of self-improvement is shame and self-criticism. Ooh. Right, like, I'm currently doing this experiment at the moment where for the next week I'm paying attention to all the ways I criticize myself, and I'm making a note of it, and I'm seeing these thoughts coming up that I think were installed in high school, you know, certain insecurities, certain things that were said, certain things that happened, and it's like that stuff hasn't been unwired. It's still there beneath the surface, still ways that I'm not friends with myself, still ways that I haven't like learned to love myself, still ways that I've adopted someone else's immature and sort of biased version of a younger version of me, and like these early events in our lives can really shape us, you know, for decades. We can carry it around, you know, for our entire life. So that's an interesting experiment. And I do think that a lot of people interested in self-improvement, I'm sure many people listening to this now are thinking, you're so right, I suck so much because I'm not doing that. Yeah. Oof. You're so right, I get everything these guys are saying, and damn, I suck so much for doing that. But here's the thing, if you're doing that, I'd first of all encourage you not to do that. This is a very normal thought. We're not saying that you need to be doing this stuff or you're a failure. That's not the point of this. That the main point is, are you taking even a small step towards it? So if you listen to this, you might be thinking, oh my god, yeah, there's all these things I could be doing and I'm such a failure because I'm not doing it. Trust me, we've all been there. We all have those dark nights of the soul. What's more important is, are you doing anything just to take you a little bit closer? And one of those things, I think, is getting help. I could never have done like 80% of the stuff I've done without help from other people.
Yeah,
receiving help from mentors and friends over the years has made me the type of person that I can now pass that on. And now when I'm in a community, people come to me and see me as this guy who, you know, can make them feel better and give them good guidance. But that all comes from being guided by other people. Yep. Years ago, I've kind of like taken on that energy, that social energy, and now I can pass it on. So don't beat yourself up if you're not, you know, killing it in life in every way and, you know, going after the thing you want. That's normal. You know, you're a human being, permission to be human, we have fears, we have doubts, all normal. The question is, are you doing something small? Are you reaching out to someone? Are you finding a community? You know, like High Existence has an amazing community. Are you engaged? You know, you can leave a comment on this podcast or the post, for example. Eric can tell you other places that you can reach us, but taking small steps like that is a really good first thing to do, I think.
Yeah, there's a similar caution arising in me of, you know, not wanting people to sort of beat themselves up. And if you were beating yourself up, make sure you don't beat yourself up about having beaten yourself up. You know, that like it's okay, and it's actually exciting. You know, if you realize you don't have to feel ashamed, and it is what it is, but you're recognizing, oh man, I've been sitting in this prison cell and I thought there was a lock on the door, but there isn't. What can I do? Wow. There's a whole world of possibility. That's exciting, you know? And I think there are some things that make the world as it is quite a challenging thing to navigate. We have incredible complexity rushing into our eyes and ears due to the novel technology that we're being exposed to. Humanity's never gone through this kind of transformation with this kind of technology where we're getting all of these pings about what's happening in the world every single day. We would never receive that much information flooding into us before like that. There's a lot. There's a lot going on, a lot to parse through. And we, a lot of people are in a situation where the paths to making their unique contribution to the world that inspires deep meaning for them. So when they wake up and they see the day in front of them, they feel really moved by the task at hand. They feel moved to explore and expand what the day has for them. So many people are instead wake up and it's dread. And that is really unfortunate. And we should attempt to build systems that enable people to access experiences of meaningful contribution in an expedited way that don't require such a grueling sort of obstacle course. But sometimes that obstacle course is part of the experience, and there's a lot that is learned by moving in that direction. But I think the important thing to remember and to circle back to the excitement is it's our birthright to live a meaningful life. And to do that, we don't need to have $1 million in the bank account. We don't need to have the perfect master plan. We don't need to be the most talented in some field to do it. We all have the potential and the possibility, and that possibility transcends the 9-to-5. It transcends what we do when we come home. And I think the more that people begin to access that and find out what that thing is for them and they proceed in that direction, some of these other things start to fall in place. Some of these other critical thoughts and the feelings of I should be doing this or I should be doing that, so much of that's just forced onto you by society. But if you're moving in the direction of making a contribution and it is inspiring to you and you feel the impact that you're having on the world, that can be the thing that is the corrective that sets so much straight, where it can feel like there's a mess, you know, that's I'm trying to deal with all of these things. If we find that thing, it like becomes the axis around which the other things in our life start to organize. So I want to encourage that excitement, you know, to actually, wow, I can step outside of this self-imposed prison. I can begin to explore the world with a renewed sense of, you know, willingness to explore. That'll be one way to put it.
Just want to sit with that for a second. That was really beautiful. Yeah. I've been talking with Justin Knopp a lot, guy who ran the Accelerated Learning Experience. He's been on the podcast a bit. He talks about this idea of -1, 0, +1, with 0 being your kind of baseline state. And, you know, negative one being, you know, I need some healing, I'm broken, I want to get back to just being normal or just feeling normal. And then, of course, positive one being growth stuff. And a lot of the self-help space is in the negative one thing. I'm broken, I'm not good enough, I don't feel right. If only I do all these practices, then I'll get back to like being acceptable as a human. And it's like, yo, A, that's a tragedy, but B, you're not broken. You're not in need of being fixed, right? You can't be broken. Your worth is not in question here. But yeah, you know, the thing you want to do with life, that is up for grabs. It is in question. And you get to answer it. Like, that's the point. The best part about this is always in your control. It's a decision, it's a step, it's an action away. And I think another really subtle thing, I was talking with a friend here about this, like literally 2 weeks ago, it's when we project into that really, really big future, right? It often comes with, I don't know, a lot of responsibility, a lot of opportunity, and there's so much that we might not be capable of doing right now. And it's like, yes, that's true, but you will not be the same person at that point. It's like if there's a weight in your future that you don't feel you can hold right now, that's probably good because that means it's a big goal and you get the opportunity to grow into the person who can do it. But you're not going to be the person you are now just in the future. You're going to be a new person who can hold that weight, who can rise to that challenge. But we kind of just slot the person we are now into that future scenario. And it's actually, this is where it comes back to the thinking small is like, well, if the me today is going to have to hold the weight of the future, well, I better just pick more of the same because it's the only weight that I can hold right now. And it's like, yeah, but you're going to grow. By definition, all humans do is grow. And so you won't be, you will have the strength, you will have the network, you will have the community, you will have the inspiration, you will have the skill sets to be that person when that time comes. It's not a bad thing that you aren't now. It's a good thing. It means you're starting to think bigger. But that is such a trap too. It's like, again, your identity, your capacity is not static. It is not static. And like the small steps thing, it's like, yeah, whatever you choose is going to be a lot of small steps, right? But you can be walking towards that massive, massive exponential idea, or you can be walking towards more of the same. It's actually going to feel the same. You know, you're going to be tired, you're going to be hungry, you're going to be confused, but in one, you'll end up in a vastly different world. In the other, more of the same. And again, the beautiful part of this is you get to choose it. You get to choose it like right now. You snap your fingers and start walking in a different direction, walking towards a different, like, just vision, dream, goal. It's really beautiful. It's not easy, but it's beautiful.
I love the thought experiment of thinking about what type of personality or being you would inhabit if you had this other life, and to what extent would it be the same or different? It's almost impossible to really know. But it's kind of, we can kind of get an idea of it if we look into our past. You know, at one point, there were certain problems and desires and things in our life that really occupied us, that were very important to us, certain habits that we had, certain ways of thinking. Have you ever had that experience of looking at an old photograph of yourself from like 5 to 10 years ago and thinking, geez, what was that person thinking back then? Like, you know, the clothes that they were wearing, the music that they were into feels like kind of like a different person. It can be embarrassing, or, you know, nostalgic. But the future is going to be like that too, to a large degree. You know, how we look at ourselves now, we might in 5 years think, wow, what was that person thinking then? And that's kind of humbling because it shows that there's always something to learn, always new paradigms to access. But what came up for me there was this fact about human beings, which people don't really give much credit to, and that fact is the environment plays a huge role in how we show up in the world. We're not these isolated things without an environment. We just tweak this isolated thing and it becomes this like demigod. You know, if you struggle, like this is an example from my life, you know, struggle with getting up early, being disciplined, you know, when I was younger, being orderly, being structured. Then you have a baby, a newborn that you have to care for. And the bottles need to be sterilized. He has to eat when he's hungry. If you don't feed him when he's hungry, if you don't wake up when he wakes up, you hear crying. You know, maybe you find that you struggle with compassion. Maybe you don't like other people that much. Maybe you're kind of a bit of a closet misanthrope. And now you've got this gorgeous, loving human being who looks at you like you're their world. So suddenly now you didn't have meaning, you didn't have discipline, you didn't have the ability to organize. And now because of your environment has changed, if anyone were to look at you and look at how you're behaving, they would say you have all of those traits in abundance because your environment has changed. If you try to force that without the environment being different, good luck. Right, good luck at it. It's going to be a really difficult challenge. So that's why earlier on I was saying, like, you know, you don't need to try to change the things with inside the container you're in. You can change the container itself. And that's worth thinking about. You know, what is the crazy thing that you would enjoy failing at, that you would be happy to suffer for? I really do believe that all the growth that you're looking for as a human being is in your greatest, most perilous adventure in life. That's where it is. That's where the hero's journey is. That's why all the movies that we love are all about a hero encountering obstacles, suffering, setbacks, and overcoming and growing as a result.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about, you know, the types of people who would be listening to this conversation and who would make it, you know, this far to the point they're still listening. And there's some remarkable individuals who maybe we'll never get the chance to meet. Maybe we will, but they're listening to this conversation that we're having right now. And it's guaranteed that they are, they have capacity in them that lies dormant, that hasn't been fully expressed or mobilized by the world. And how exciting would it be for those capacities to really start to blossom and grow? And when I think about making the world a better place, that's really the answer. You know, there's systems that we need to upgrade and leadership to consider. But at the end of the day, it really requires many, many people allowing for the cultivation of their more beautiful qualities that make for more moment-to-moment choices that enable the blossoming of a more beautiful world. You know, we can't put a better world on the shoulders of a single individual and expect them to do it. You know, so this is what I'm thinking about. And if you are one of those people, if that resonates with you at all, if you think, yes, I feel like I have a lot that I am capable of. I can make this world a better place by contributing to it. I'm not quite sure how, but I feel in my soul that is something that I'm capable of achieving. I mean, imagine, John, you're talking about this perilous adventure, and to put it in sort of mythological terms, imagine you are, you know, tasked with ascending a mountain. That it's like Mount Doom, lightning bolts, dark skies, all of that stuff. You can't even see the peak, but you need to go up to that mountain to retrieve the elixir that will heal the village, right? It will heal the family. It will help remedy the suffering of others, right? This is a classic sort of setup. Now imagine you're made to go on that journey alone, or you wake up the day before you're about to depart and you're invited to sit around a table. And around that table are all of the wise elders and geniuses of the village who have something to contribute and offer and give to you to support you before you sort of make yourself, before you pursue this journey. And each of them have certain maps to things. So this person will help you forage. This person will help you know how to stay away from the predators, this person, you know, how to start a fire, all kinds of skills that would take you multiple lifetimes to try and figure out on your own. But getting those instructions condensed and learning from the failings of others means that you can be so much more prepared. And not only that, but their belief in you. Each of these people sitting around this table have the utmost belief that it's something that you can succeed at, that you can achieve it, you know? Too few people actually have that experience. Too few people actually feel supported in that way and are given those gifts, you know? And so this is something that we want to be able to provide people. Not to say the three of us have all the answers, but we know plenty of people who do have pieces to the puzzle that can support you as you embark on your unique journey up the mountain. And this is something that we're creating in a new experience called the Ascent. So there's very little that we've actually discussed or shared about this. There will be a link in the podcast description if you want to know more about it or sort of throw your hat in the ring. This isn't for everyone. This isn't an experience for someone who wants to sit and do sort of armchair philosophizing and you know, like, who isn't really serious and committed. And we're going to be sort of discussing and revealing more in the coming weeks. But I just wanted to bring this up for a moment because there is, like John said earlier, ask for help, like get the help. Sometimes that is the thing that is needed to kind of kickstart and set things in motion. So yeah, link in description, you can learn more. But I will just sort of kind of leave that to stew for a minute.
That tugged on my heartstrings when you did the whole build up and then was like, too few people have that struck a chord. And yeah, this has been a pivotal shift for me, this content versus container thing. Like, everything you want to know is on the internet, and yet you probably don't spend a lot of time learning it or doing it or practicing it. It's like, why? Because the container's not conducive. The environment just is pushing you in different directions. Like, the way this always comes up for me is in Finding Nemo, when they get into the jet stream and surf with the turtles. Like, yo, you could work on your ability to swim all day, or you could just get in the jet stream, right? It's way easier when your environment actually pushes you along and becomes a supportive force behind you rather than an obstacle to be overcome in front of you. And that's actually possible. You can get the whole world to reorient itself around you and push you forward rather than just being things to be overcome or obstacles or hindrances in the way. And it looks like finding the containers, finding the people, finding the context, because if you're willing to show up, which again, if someone's listening to this, they most certainly are, you will always become the person you need to be to do that thing. Right? Becoming is just like being times doing, and you'll increase your ability to be that person and ability to do stuff that you need to do if you have the thing being asked of you. Like, yo, rise up, be a part of the group, let's do this. You will naturally, and this is all the house stuff that we were talking about earlier, you will figure out exactly what you need to do, when you need to do it, if you are moving in the pursuit of that, if you are on the epic quest with the Fellowship of the Ring or the Fellowship of your life. Like, that stuff falls into place. But it, and rightly so, it is a monumental task if you're trying to just do it at home by yourself. Because you're not on the quest. You're not with the group. It's actually, again, that's when the world becomes the obstacle rather than the epic force. And yeah, you know, these, how would I say this? Changing your life requires, like, just massive life-changing action. Like reinventing yourself, taking huge, courageous leaps. And yeah, getting in a good container with good people helps that process a lot.
A little disclaimer about me, something that I want to share with you. I'm a huge fan of self-learning. for 15 years I've been teaching myself things. I love it. I love finding books and courses and like finding all these interesting ways to improve and grow and learn new things, learn new skills. And when I was younger, if you had said to me, well, you know, there's only so far you can get with this. You ultimately, you need mentorship and guidance and a group and a community. I might have said, well, actually, I'm pretty good. I've got books. You know, there's thousands of years of wisdom in books. I have access to a library. That's all I need. But over the last 5 years, since getting deep into my work with High Existence and traveling and attending apotheosis retreats and meeting some very amazing individuals, I now see that there is no comparison to actual interaction with other people, where they can actually feel your energy, feel your response, and you get this feeling of being seen. That's the thing you can't get from a book. A book can't see you. A book doesn't have eyes. A book can't stare into your soul and ask you a question that you haven't been asking yourself for the last 5 years. That's sometimes the thing you got to be doing. So that's the thing I want to bring up is there's a lot you can do now on your own. You know, you can study, you can read books, but there's nothing that can compare to interaction with someone. The feeling, the energetic exchange is so powerful. And the other thing as well is, as Mike was saying about many of us don't have these communities, these support networks. Have you ever considered the value of a single friend? You know, like, have you ever considered the value of a single good friend? Not someone that you just hang out with and you have a laugh with. Great, 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 great. If you have that, great, cherish it. I'm talking about the kind of friend that you can share anything with and they'll hold space for you. They'll celebrate your wins. They'll help you through difficult times. They genuinely want the best for you and care about you getting it. And you just click. You just click. And you just know that that person's going to be in your life forever. The value of that is priceless. Like, you know, a really good friend is not someone that you break up with, typically. It's not typically a high drama relationship that lasts 3 months and you break up with. A good friend has this stability that can really last a lifetime. And it's so valuable. And I don't think that can be understated. I think we kind of gloss over that fact, how powerful a good friendship is. And that's the other thing that we are really looking to create. And you might think, well, how can you create that? Well, I don't think we're trying to create it. I think we're setting a space and allowing energies to collide. And if we do that well, and we bring the right energies into the space, I think it's an inevitability.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up, because I was just thinking about it before you said it, because I grew up in Pennsylvania. When I moved to Colorado, I knew a single individual, and that individual I hadn't even met in person yet. So it was a lot of faith, you know, just sort of taking the leap and seeing what I would find there. But I realized the thing that concerned me the most was, I'm not going to know anyone. I'm not going to have any friends. I'm not going to have a community, relationships. But knowing a single individual, that opens the door to so many people in their network. An individual comes with like a network attached to them. So where people tend to think like, oh, I don't have the support system around me. I need to go out and find all of these people. I mean, how would I ever do that? It really can happen super quickly through a single connection. And that connection, maybe it's not that person who is like this really deep ride or die kind of friendship, but they might introduce you to that person. And that person might introduce you to 3 or 4 other people. And then all of a sudden you're surrounded by people who you feel deep connection with, who you're on the same page in a lot of ways, and you have a different perspective on the way you want to lead your life than the most people around you. And that can be the thing that allows for the sort of buoyancy that you need to kind of get up from the depths of the ocean and start to, you know, rise beyond, you know, the sort of weights that have been holding you down. And that's one thing I think people can underestimate, how quickly life can change when the right people start to show up in that life. It can change dramatically, and it can happen very fast, because those capacities that I was talking about lying dormant, when they start to, you know, erupt to the surface because people are holding you in a different esteem, they're seeing those things living within you, they're encouraging them to come out. Now, all of a sudden, all of this new opportunity starts rushing towards you because you've got these capabilities and this capacity that you're bringing to the world. And that's what value does. Value is magnetic. You know, when you can provide value to individuals on any number of levels, that creates a dramatically sort of enlarged surface area of possibility. There's more possibility, more pathways that you can pursue. So I think it's an important thing to remember. Just as you're saying, John, an individual can, like, having that deep bond, and then where that bond, how that can transform the other facets of your life because of the network effect, who those people introduce you to.
Yeah, wow. This is amazing. The image that came up was Leonidas and the 300, where you get a profound strength when you know that the person to your left is protecting your left and the person to your right is protecting your right, and you will walk forward as a unit. Like, there is a deep soul strength that comes from that. Like, just an invincibility you get. You armor up, and it's funny. We've been exploring both the, like, slow, steady progress versus the massive shifts. And the way this comes up for me is, like, yes, your movement forward is always one step at a time, but certain decisions you make just quantum shift, step function up your reality so that you're now walking on a different level. And, like, major commitments do that. Again, new circles of people around you do that, building momentum towards a direction. It's just a direction, not like a goal in particular, but like moving towards a North Star, making the leap to actually pursue it diligently with people. Now you're stacking like 3, 4, 5 just epic shifts on top of each other. And so all your steps get this momentum, this, last week I called it escape velocity. Your life has like this gravity to it, and you can actually hit an escape velocity with people. It often requires people, context, structure that actually just propels you straight out of it, and you shift into just massively different levels of being. And it's like, yo, this is possible. Again, like, we can come back to the point of like, this is possible for everyone. This is possible for you right now in this moment. It just takes, again, big courageous leap in the direction that feels right.
On a personal level, I've been working with High Existence now for 5 years, and I've seen transformations at many different levels. So I've seen people go through psychedelic experiences of meditation, experiences of introspection and the sort of changing the way they think. I've been out in the world with people and seen them challenge themselves and gaining confidence. I've seen people grow in group settings. I've seen people grow from reading and just learning. There are so many different contexts, and I've looked deeply into stoicism. I've looked deeply into meditation, stillness practices, trauma healing, all these different areas. And personally, what I'm really passionate about is, what is the next big undiscovered quantum leap we can make in the sphere of personal transformation? You know, I'm not interested in simply copying what's already been done. I'm interested in how can we innovate what's already been done and come up with a new way for people to grow and experience, and using things like the internet in new interesting ways, using the pandemic as a catalyst for changing things up, not seeing it as a, as an obstacle. Oh, this is a problem, we've got a pandemic, you know, we need to kind of like make ends meet and do something in spite of the pandemic. I'm thinking of it as this pandemic has created a container, has forced our hand, has created certain limitations. Where can we run with that? How can we see it as a gift? And for me, that's what the ascent is all about. It's about, on a personal level, it's about taking transformation, community, personal growth in a place that it's that has never been before.
And I think, you know, that we've had so many conversations about this, hashing out the details of this experience. And this will be relevant to you, even if you don't anticipate sort of participating in something like this. If you do, definitely pay attention. But this is still relevant, even if you're just, you know, wanting to kind of absorb some of the things that we're sharing here. But there are four pillars that I'm seeing as a part of this experience to help you better conceive of what are some of the sort of layers that we're weaving in. First piece is the inspiring support network. So we've been talking about this a lot during this conversation already, but having that sort of, the room is built, we're fortunate to be in this position where we have this beacon of high existence, where we've over 10 years readers from all over the world have been gravitating towards the content and the material that we share. And that means that our reach allows for us to sort of pull in the people who are ready for something like this, who feel like they want people who are more supportive to their dreams and their ambitions in their life, and who want to hold them accountable, but to do so in a loving way, who see those dormant capacities in them and want to help make them real, and have that vice versa. We're at an advantage because we can just bring those people in. They're already listening. They're out there. They receive our emails. They're seeing posts on social media. The people that you want to meet, many of them are already sort of circulating in the high existence orbit. So we build that inspiring support network. And then inside of that, there's a personal transformation accelerator. So whatever you're trying to do on your own can happen so much more quickly in the context of this sort of container. There's many reasons why, but because you're just not doing it on your own, there's eyes on you now. There's a sort of incentive system that can enable you to do things much more quickly because of that social system, but also because you're going to get those maps that I mentioned earlier. Those ways of, rather than going A, B, C and making all these mistakes, you get the clear A to Z path that you know can work really well from experts, from people who have walked that path and helped others walk that path many times before. And I'm not just speaking about us, I'm speaking about other individuals who have different capacities in breath work and meditation, so on and so forth. But it's not just enough to work on yourself, as we were saying before, you know, self-help, like when does it end? When do you start to interface with the outside world? So there's the meaningful project incubator. That's the thing that you are wanting to work on. For some people, this might be a business that they've been working on, and they want it to sort of succeed more because they're focused on helping people. Or it's within their own work right now. You're doing a 9-to-5, but you want to experience more, a richer sense of meaning at that work. There's ways of transforming the sort of confines of the job that you're already in to make that something that is more sort of aligned with your soul and what you really want to be doing. There's passion projects, there's side hustles, there's all kinds of things that we could talk about. But ultimately, the purpose is transcendent. You don't find purpose just in a job or in a business or in a hobby. It occurs inside of multiple dimensions within your life. So we're going to explore what that actually looks like so you can begin to make your unique contribution to the world and feel that sense of meaning. And the last piece is, we live in a time where people are overwhelmed with the amount of complexity. It's like so hard to understand what's even going on in the world. So helping people make sense of what's happening. This is a collective sense-making intensive, so that rather than feeling confused and overwhelmed with the information, you have a sense of clarity, you can make decisive action, all kinds of stuff like that. So that's just one way of sort of articulating a very sort of comprehensive experience, because part of what has inspired this is we've loved hosting the Apotheosis retreats, where we'll bring people together for, you know, 5 days in an exotic location and allow them to engage in all of these sort of transformational practices with each other. Given the pandemic, we're not able to do that in the same way. So we're going to do it differently. We're going to use the technology that is at our disposal to create similar experience with the ascent. So we could go on and on about this, but if you are interested, there's going to be a link. Click that link. Happy to explain more and sort of hash out the details with you if it's a good fit. Like I said, it's not going to be a good fit for everybody, but my hope is that even if you know, you're listening to this and this isn't something that you want to do, you do find yourself feeling moved or inspired. The walls and the prison that you feel like you're living in might feel a little more sort of transparent and maybe a little less real, so that you can take steps that actually move you in the direction of where you want to be. Like, that is my true hope for anyone who's listening to this.
In every time travel movie, the biggest concern of going back to the past is the really small thing that might radically change the future. Like, oh, be careful you don't see that person, or be careful you don't go to that coffee shop and talk to the barista, because it may ripple into a vastly different future that you came from. But when we're sitting in the present, no one thinks that a small decision could radically change their future. But it can. It has the same level of just absolutely monumental power. And what a heroic story it would be to take probably the hardest year of many people's lives and turn it into a catalyst that made them just a freaking hero. That's the ultimate move right there, to take real difficulty and actually transmute it through like courageous heroic action into the most valuable tool you have. And I think that, like, there is that sense, you know, there's a vortex being made, a calling, you know, a bell being rung. And if you tune into yourself and you feel that, where it's like, yeah, I'm ready for this, you know, I'm done just amusing myself or telling myself that I'm broken or just waiting for the next thing. Like a beacon, the Avengers are assembling. And they're assembling soon. And yeah, I would ask people to really tune in. It's like, yo, if you want to show up for the world, beyond just showing up for yourself, like, there's a massive opportunity opening. We don't open things a lot, right? We're highly selective. It's often low numbers of people, and it's done for a reason, right? The containers and the people are important. But I think if someone's ready, they'll have that sense in their gut where it's like, yeah, you know, it's time to shine. It's time to be a hero. It's time to show up, and that opportunity is opening.
Yeah, and just to build on that as well, this think of this as a call. You'll know in your heart if this is stirring something up in you, if this is speaking to you. Mm-hmm. This is a call, and the next step will be, if you're interested in the ascent, the next step will be finding out more, and just kind of following the breadcrumbs even further. As Mike said, there's going to be a link in the show notes for this episode, and a link in the article if you found this podcast in the article, and you're going to have a chance to speak to one of us if you decide to apply. As we said earlier, this is not for everyone. This is for people who really feel the call strongly and believe that they are willing to, you know, to take a leap of faith and to embark on an amazing quest. That think of this as a stepping stone to something else.
Absolutely. And I want to sort of recall or bring back up the sort of thought experiment of climbing that mountain and, you know, being able to begin that expedition with the round table around you, with each of them sharing unique perspectives, unique maps, unique skills that could be the thing that helps you make those, make the leap, actually make the expedition, not just so you can have the experience because that was profound, but so you can grab hold of that elixir and help so many others. You know, if you're someone who's interested in this, you're not just solely focused on yourself. You actually care about the world, want to make the world a better place as well, as we all do. So it's part of why we're pulling it together. So I think with that, we'll leave you there. Hopefully, wherever you are in the world, something in this conversation moved you, activated something, inspired you in some way. That's why we have these conversations. That's our hope. And yeah, we will see you next time with more conversations, more dialogues of this nature.
Thank you for checking out the High Existence podcast. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. And as I said in the beginning, if you want to learn more about the ascent and apply, you can just visit highexistence.com/ascent. You can find a link to that in the show notes. This is filling up quickly and you probably have 2 weeks maximum to get your application in if you want to have a chance of partaking in this. I'll see you on the next episode, if fortune allows.